I'm Chris Farrell from Walking the Walking Dead, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual, but you can check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. Now get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussion ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Witten.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
And my co-host, Haley Malley.
I am a ray of sunshine.
And Keir Hansen.
Flashy lights, Christmas, woo!
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again.
Welcome to episode 134 of Gallifrey Public Radio, where Jay and I have converged in Dallas, Texas for the second installment of WhoFest, a local con celebrating Doctor Who.
Woohoo!
Woo! I'm your host, Haley Malley, and with me this week in the GPR studios is special guest, Sean.
Hello, how are you all? Both of you, and everybody listening, sorry.
We're good. And as always, I am also joined by Jay Witten. How are you tonight, Jay?
I might have had one too many drinks, but that's not confirmed or denied. So
yeah, it could have been more than one too many.
This week, we enjoy the company of Jason Hagelery, Nick Briggs, Terry Malloy, Nicola Bryant, and Colin Baker at WhoFest 2. This is a local con that got started last year with the 50th anniversary special, and this year they've decided to expand to make it a proper convention with guests and all. And as we were here, we ran into Sean, who is from TARDIS Tavern. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that real quick?
I am Sean, the co-host of the TARDIS Tavern. My fellow co-host is Steve, who could not be here today, although he was here yesterday for the con. And we've been going for about 5.5 years, yet we have about the same amount of episodes that you guys have. So we just basically record when we feel like it. And we drink, we talk about Doctor Who, we usually pick a classic episode or a current or new series episode and talk about that and just get really freaking drunk in the process.
Hey, that's always a good plan.
I approve of this plan.
Okay, yeah.
I think we might need
to... I have an idea for future episodes, Jay.
Doctor Who drinking games. Quick, come up with ideas. All right, so what... I mean, so far, so we're recording this Saturday night. We've been through 2 days of the con, and we've got one more left to go. What has been your guys' favorite panel so far that you've been a part of, or been in the audience for, I guess?
I'm going to say something a little bit masturbatory, I guess. On Friday at 6 o'clock, we did an interview with Terry Malloy. We did like a live TARDIS Tavern thing. And he was very gracious, and we felt like real legitimate podcasters for about an hour, getting to talk to him up there on the couch and stuff, and you know, acting professional, and you know, not like ourselves. And then he was very nice and gracious. And then after that, we were like, "We need a drink." But I've been to about 3 or 4 panels. I know. I'm sorry. I think probably my favorite was the one that I met you at, Jay.
Okay.
Which was the exact name of it? Does the writer
the writer's room need a regeneration?
Yes,
something along those lines.
And I think the overwhelming response or answer was yes.
Yeah,
it does need a regeneration.
And we'll actually be sharing at least segments of that next week, so you can tune in for the majority of that panel as well. So, what about you, Haley? What was your favorite?
The not appropriate to be recorded stories from Nicola Bryant's panel were pretty fantastic.
Those were pretty great. I enjoyed those. she actually requested a couple times. She's like, "All right, is anybody recording? Can you turn off the cameras?
Okay, everybody turn off the cameras. Because this is a good story. You want to hear it, but I'm not doing it on tape.
This does not need to get out there, no." So, yeah, that one was fun. Honestly, I have a hard time picking a favorite, but I really enjoyed the one this morning with Nick Briggs and Terry Malloy, just because they... it was early in the morning. I mean, Terry Molloy walked out on stage with,
his breakfast.
His breakfast from Denny's that he hadn't quite finished yet.
So, I forgot that that was this morning. Like, it feels like it was longer ago than that.
It does start to run together. But, I mean, honestly, everything that I've been to this weekend has been great. And just wandering around in the lobby, in the elevator. I mean, yesterday I bumped into Terry Molloy standing by the elevator, and we just started having a discussion about, the role of Davros in the new series and things like that. So that's one of the great things I enjoy about these kind of cons.
Right. This is, a small con. I think there's maybe 1,000 people here, probably not even that.
Yeah, they sold about 700 pre-con. I don't know how many tickets they sold for people who just showed up.
At the door.
Last time it was about 1,100, but that was the 50th anniversary.
Right. So, if you've been to a bigger con, a Comic-Con or something along those lines, this is a completely different feeling. It's not like you go and you stand in line and you get 4 seconds to get an autograph with a celebrity. We just walked up to Terry Molloy today and chatted with him for 10 minutes.
Yeah, I just happened to walk up and wanted to just ask him to be on the show in the future, which he agreed to. So if he's not, then you guys can write angry letters to him because it's not my fault. But, it was one of those quick introduction things. And then he sat there and talked to us for 10 minutes, just striking up a conversation because, that's why they're here. That's why they come to these cons, is to have those kind of things. So, all right. Let me ask you guys, what was your most memorable moment so far this con? What's the thing that sticks out in your mind that this is the thing that you're going to remember for years to come?
Haley, you go first.
Okay.
I have to think for a minute.
Last night, after all the con event planning stuff is over, you go up to the top floor and they've got a room party going on. We're like, well, yeah, we'll go to the room party. We'll see what's going on. So we walk in and Terry Molloy is sitting there just chatting with the room full of people, talking about British politics and, traffic laws here and in the UK, the roundabout versus the four-way stop.
Cussing out the British officials that came up with some stupid law or another.
Did he say anything about UKIP? Because UKIP is a thing over there. I'm not entirely exactly what it is, but it's a thing.
No, but we did learn quite a bit about the EU and how important that is and why some people want to... I learned more about British politics last night than I have in the past 34 years combined.
Well, and he did mention, we all were quite jealous of this. Apparently, British campaigning starts about a month and a half before the election.
Yeah.
Really?
I was like, oh, that sounds lovely.
Yeah. Somebody asked him about it. He's like, no, the general election is March 7th, and they just started last week. And we're like,
May 7th.
Oh,
yeah, like 2 weeks ago. I was like, oh, really? Our election is in a year and a half, and we've got people announcing candidacies.
If we're talking about the 2018 elections, then politicking probably started in 2002.
That's probably because once they're elected into office, they know that they're going to be at the point where if they're in the kitchen and they can't stand the heat, they should back out. Mm-hmm. Because politics over there in the parliament are a really rough deal. You've got people yelling at you and, I don't know how our politicians that we have here could deal with it.
So what about you, Sean? What was your most memorable moment so far?
Okay, so this morning I went downstairs to breakfast. as I mentioned, my friend Steve, my co-host, had to leave early this morning. And he's all about Nicola Bryant. Like, he can't stop talking about Nicola Bryant. An ace. I don't know which one is bigger for him. Never mind. I didn't say the word bigger. But he was just enamored with her. And so this morning I'm on the fifth floor. I went down to breakfast. I get on the elevator and the elevator's full, and sitting right there at the front is Nicola Bryant. And I'm just really hungry. I really want to go down to breakfast. Normally, if it was strangers or anybody, I'd say, no, thank you. Go ahead. But I was waiting for a long time. So I stood in front of Nicola Bryant in the elevator, and she stared at the back of my head for 30 seconds. That was the highlight of my experience here. You guys have had a much more rich experience than I did.
If we had ridden in an elevator with Nicola Bryant, Jay still wouldn't be able to talk.
Probably not. She was
pretty.
Yeah, honestly, there have been a couple things, but one of the things I enjoyed the most, and it had nothing to do with me, it was during the panel with Nicola Bryant, Colin Baker, and Terry Molloy, and there was a little girl that came up and she asked a question to the doctor and the doctor's companion, and then when she got done, she said, okay, my other question, can the doctor's companion give me a hug? And this is like a little 5-year-old girl.
No, she was older than that. She was in fourth grade, so she was probably 10.
Okay. So,
but she was a small 10-year-old.
But she, everybody had that same reaction. It was, oh. And, And then Colin Baker was like, come here. And he held out his arms and he gave her a hug. And then she hugged Nicola Bryant. And then Colin Baker sat her on the couch. And like,
I thought she sat herself on the couch.
No, that is awesome.
She's sitting between Nicola Bryant and Colin Baker.
And for the next 5 minutes, Colin Baker basically interviews her.
You know what's so awesome about that? It's not that Colin Baker interviewed her, although that is awesome. It's awesome that this little girl knows who Colin Baker is and has watched those old episodes mm-hmm. since even way before she was a gleam in her mother or father's eye.
Yeah.
And she knows this stuff, you know, because she obviously has been being raised by the right people.
Right.
I know there's people that would beg to differ, but...
But I mean, the whole time she's on that couch, her grin is just ear to ear, and she's just, you can tell this is something that is going to change this girl's life. It's something she's going to remember mm-hmm.
She's going to go to school on Monday and just not stop talking about this.
Yeah, and every other kid in her school is going to be like, "What the heck is she talking about?"
She had to go to a doctor. Like, I mean, did she like?
She saw the doctor over the weekend. I don't get it.
She was on a couch. Was a psychiatrist.
But I mean, as a father, that is something that like, you know, if one of my kids got to do something like that, it would make my whole weekend. And it just, I think that is probably the thing that's going to stick with me the most.
There was a question that a little boy posted to Terry Malloy in our interview. And he's sitting there with his mom. He's sitting there with his fez hat. He was probably about the same age, maybe about 10 years old. Mm-hmm. And he asked him, if Davros was a My Pretty Pony character, he said, would you play Davros as a My Pretty Pony character? And his mom is sitting next to him and she's going, Sit down, quiet. And Terry Malloy didn't skip a beat. He said, yes, of course. It would be a great My Little Pony character. I'd have a bow in my hair and I'd be wheeling around and it would be wonderful. I'm like, oh my God, this man is either just had this question a million times or he's a genius. I can't remember what. I suspect the latter, or maybe a combination of both.
Probably so.
A man who travels with his teddy bear at the airport, which I've heard on good authority.
Well, yeah. Speaking of him going through the airport, when we were up in this room the other night, he's telling the story. You know, he came in, he's going through customs. I don't know if it's the most recent trip or just a trip in the past. I think it was a while ago.
I think it was, he was saying when he was going to LA.
Okay. So he gets there and he's like, and the customs agent, I swear, it was Agent Smith from The Matrix. So, why are you here in the country? Is it for business or pleasure?
The way that he just told the story was absolutely hilarious, but it was one of those things, it was a candid moment where he's just, everyone is paying attention to him, and it was just so hilarious. It was great.
Seeker of golf balls or an actor? One of these careers has a future, the other doesn't.
I'm just saying, you get, what, like 5 cents a golf ball when you pick them up and you return them at the shop?
I don't know. I stopped trying to pick them up because I lost too many. All right, well, we've actually got some audio that we've recorded here, some interviews that we've done and everything. So why don't we go ahead and take a break and listen to some of that real quick, and then we'll come back afterwards and close up. All right, so we are actually here with the MC of WhoFest 2, Peter Pixie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. I'm happy to be on your podcast.
Thank you very much for taking a minute to talk with us. So you've kind of been the face of the convention for the weekend, being up there with all the stars and everything. How is that, you know, how does that feel doing that kind of thing for an entire weekend?
Well, one of the best parts about my job is that I get the best seat in the house. I get to sit up there and watch what happens and see things behind the scenes. I love it. And you know, I've been doing conventions since 1983, and been a Doctor Who fan since 1979. And out of the myriad of conventions I've attended, hosted, and ran, I've never worked with Doctor Who guests before. So it took me 35 years, but here we are.
That is great. So how did you get involved with this? Did they approach you to come do this one?
Yes. What happened was back in 2013, on the 50th anniversary of Doctor Who, they were going to have a little watch party. I don't know if you got a chance to hear that story. And it kind of blew up, and they realized they had a full-on convention, but no guests. And all the guests were overseas for the 50th anniversary. So they wrote me, and I got this email. I was very excited to read it, because it was from a Doctor Who event, first of all. And they're like, well, we got a whole lot of people, didn't expect, and we need somebody to come and help. And so I did, and they liked what they saw and invited me back.
Awesome. So do you have plans on coming back next year as well?
I hope so. I've not been officially asked yet, but if they ask, I'll certainly be here.
Awesome. So what has been the most memorable moment of the weekend for you?
You know, it's hard to say because it's weekends are so divided into what happens. You know, meeting the Doctor Who guests, of course, is a lifelong dream for me. So here it has happened and it's come and gone. But as in always, whenever conventions that I host, for me, the most memorable things are watching the people, especially new people to conventions, when they realize they're a part of a bigger community. And, you know, as mayor of the multiverse, it always pleases me to see when we have new members of our population.
Awesome. So
it was especially great to see all the young children that are here. And, you know, we're seeding the next generation of Whovians and geeks in general to, you know, parents raising them right.
When was it that you found that you could kind of do this thing? Because honestly, being up there on stage, if I were, you know, confronted with Nickel Bryant, my exact response would probably be, when was it that you discovered that you had this talent for kind of leading the room that way?
Well, it all actually starts with Rocky Horror Picture Show. I owe my career, I owe my family to that movie, sadly. But to kind of run it down just a little bit, we needed a front man for our Rocky Horror Picture Show shadow cast. And we were doing 800 to 1,000 people a show. So we did a fake band at the beginning of our first show at this beautiful Orpheum Theater in 2001. It was March 21st, in fact. And I'll remember that because that was the day Peter Pixie was born on stage. And we did 20th Century Boy by Placebo from the movie Velvet Goldmine. In the early days, Peter Pixie was very glam. Makeup, the boa, it was the tall boots that were holographic, brilliant.
Awesome. All right. Well, where can people go to find your page and things like that?
My website is peterpixie.com, and there it has links to many other places, including the official Peter Pixie website, which is on Facebook, and the Facebook pages. My like page is just Peter Pixie, the Peter Pixie. Feel free to find me. If you want to follow me personally, you can do that at Peter Pixie MC. But I am a hippie living in Kansas, so I have a little bit to say on my personal page. But we do welcome all polite people on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for taking a moment to talk with us this week.
It's my pleasure. Party on, Wayne.
All right. So I am here at WhoFest 2 in Dallas with Paul Barrett, who has constructed probably one of the best canine models I have ever seen. Paul, how long did it take you to put this all together?
Well, I was fortunate enough to get the body from someone else that's made out of plywood, but the automation took me better part of a year.
So you wrote the program yourself for this, correct?
Yes, I wrote the embedded programs on the Arduinos and the app for Android to control it from a phone.
All right, so we've talked recently about some of the things have come out. One of the, I think it's officially licensed, actually, that it's a smaller version, clearly, but you hook it up Bluetooth via your phone, and we've been talking about getting some for ourselves, actually. So this is something that's completely homemade, basically.
Yeah, this is completely custom. There's very little off the shelf, you know, that was intended for anything like this.
So how much of this is, do you know how much of this is completely accurate to the show, or is it just putting it all together?
Well, the body was accurate according to the technical manual of the time, you know, so the scale and shape of the body is accurate as far as that manual goes. And then I tried to match episodes, you know. The thing is, K9 went through several different revisions and, you know, during the shows, so I kind of had to pick one and go with it, and he's kind of Mark 2.5, you know.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you very much. It's been enjoyable watching him roll around this weekend, and I know Kier is going to be completely jealous that he wasn't here to see him, but it's been fantastic, so thank you very much.
My pleasure.
I am K9, the Doctor's faithful friend.
All right, and I am here with Tim Miller and Mike Erickson, who are going to be chairing next year's WhoFest. So this whole old con basically came out of a desire to watch the 50th anniversary together, correct?
Yes. I'm a big Doctor Who fan. In 2011, I noticed, wait, the 50th is going to be on a Saturday. The BBC is bound to do something. I'm having a party at my house. I'm inviting people now.
He didn't invite me, by the way.
I didn't get all the invites out.
Okay, and then it just, I mean, how did it spiral so out of control? Because I remember hearing about it months in advance, and, you know, I tried my best to get up here, but I just couldn't manage it. But how does it go from being just a barbecue or, you know, hanging out with some friends to what it is now?
Well, what had happened is because of our background, we run a general interest science fiction convention in Dallas called FenCon, fencon.org. Really cool writers, artists, musicians, and people of all walks of science fiction on the creative side. It's a fun, full weekend-long convention, but we have an ongoing relationship with a hotel. We were planning this party at my house, and one of the people that works in FenCon said, "But Tim, lots of people are going to want to go. We've got the relationship with the hotel. Let's just get a room at the hotel, and we'll do it there." And that sounded like a good idea. But it's like, well, if we're just getting one room, you know, we'll need to get a hospitality suite because you're not going to want to sit in the one room all day. People are going to want to get something to eat or drink or maybe get away and talk about something. So it's like, all right, well, we'll get a hospitality suite in a room. All right, well, we need to figure out how many people are going to come. So, maybe we'll get 100, maybe 200. And it's like, well, how do we figure all of this out in budget? So it's like, all right, well, we know we can buy T-shirts relatively inexpensively. So let's just make it a small little mini convention. We'll charge $20 and give everybody a T-shirt or a poster. That way, no matter what happens, you're getting value for your money. And then we started selling memberships and people started buying them. And before we knew it, we were at like 400. It's like, wow, we might need more space at the hotel. And 400 people, they're all not just going to want to talk about one thing. So, you know, we'll need more rooms. And we kept selling. And then all of a sudden we realized, great, the hotel has limited seating to watch, you know, for any single event. So the most we could fit is 1,000. We're at 700. This was a Thursday. So we go on Twitter and Facebook and say, all right, WhoFest for the 50th anniversary, we're capping it at 1,000, we're at 700, it took us a year to get here, so you might want to just better get it soon than wait. And by Tuesday, they were all gone.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. So what kind of numbers were here this year? Because that year you didn't have any guests or anything. It was a bunch of Whovians getting together, right?
No guests at all, because we knew everybody would be doing something big in London. And if we were going to get anybody, we'd have to pay them to not go to that. And because the price was so cheap, it's like, now we're just going to make it a fan celebration. But we got local people and some regional Doctor Who fans that have like professional writers that can speak with a degree of authority. I'm friends with Bill Young, the program director for the local PBS station, and he came down and talked. So we had, you know, people on programming to lead discussions about Doctor Who that had been on programming at other conventions. They knew what they were doing. So we were able to have a track of programming without any guests, and we showed lots of videos, and everyone seemed to have a really good time.
All right. And then, you know, this year, obviously, you guys got Colin Baker and Nicola Bryant and Terry Malloy and Nick Briggs. So how did things go from what kind of process did you go through to turn it into a full on con with guests and everything like that?
The thought was that we could do WhoFest as it was one time, because we had all the drama, the emotion, the excitement of the 50th anniversary year. And if we were to try the same thing again, we might get 100 or 200. And it's like, you know, we like running conventions, so let's see if we can get a couple guests. So I know people that run some Doctor Who conventions, and I've got other contacts. So we started sending out some invites, and we picked Colin Baker as somebody we wanted to have, because I'm a big Colin Baker fan, and I know he's great with fans. So contacted him, and then he came back and said, yeah, I'll do it. And we negotiated all the arrangements. And then I contacted Jason Hagelery and Nick Briggs through Big Finish Audio, who do all of the officially licensed classic Doctor audio plays. And I wanted them in because Nick Briggs is also voice of the Daleks, but because we were going for classic series companions, because they're less expensive to get. You know, the new series people, their fees are beyond what a small convention can afford. So to get the Big Finish involved, they have something current that they can talk about, you know, by working. Yes, I did Doctor Who 30 years ago, but I'm still doing Doctor Who today with these great audios.
Awesome. All right. So I know you guys are already selling memberships for next year. So do you have anything in the works already that you can talk about? Or is it just, you know, are we going purely on the fact that this has been a great weekend and we want to come back for that?
Well, Tim and I have ideas for guests. Mostly they're guests that Tim and I want.
Well, if you're going to run your own con, I mean, that's how right. You do it.
We do. We have decided that we need to look into interests of others as well. But I think we're going to perhaps work on hopefully getting another doctor. and some companions, and hopefully getting some others from the new series, not necessarily a big-time companion or one of those doctors, but...
But maybe a guest star or a recurring character from the new series that, you know, because most of the fandom now has been brought in by the new series, so we need to cater to them, but financial reasons, and as we're a small, growing con and we're non-profit, we don't have a huge bankroll that we can afford to say, all right, well, we'll get, you know, Peter Capaldi and we'll pay his fee. We don't have that much money in the bank. We don't want to risk that much. So.
But it's also not so much that the fee is prohibitive, which it is, but also if we were shelling out that kind of money, it would make the con different. And we want to be different, which is smaller, more intimate. You have closer interaction with the guests. They're not just signing all day and marching up on stage for one Q&A
for the entire weekend.
Right. So we don't want to duplicate the Comic-Con experience, both because we can't and two because we don't want to.
Yeah.
All right. With the convention, the size that we're at, which is give or take, you know, 100 either side of 1,000. You can go to the convention and feel like you meet most of the people there, not just the guests, but everyone that's there. And you have a choice of programming, and it's a big enough crowd that you feel you're part of something, but it's small enough that you're not an insignificant part of it.
Right. Yeah, it's been an absolute blast this weekend. We've had a great time. So definitely go to whofestdfw.org and go ahead and get your membership now, because it's well worth the trip. Thank you guys very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Hope to see you next year at WhoFest.
All right. So this clearly there's a lot of fun to be had at these kind of cons, and it's very interesting coming off of the tales. You know, obviously, Kier and I were at Gallifrey 1, which on the grand scale is not a big con. It is actually a very small con, but compared to this one, it's actually pretty huge. So, you know, and Haley, recently you went to Planet Comic Con
in Kansas City.
Yeah. And I mean, there's a big difference between the big cons and the small ones. You know, the big cons, they get the big names like Ming-Na and Stephen Amell and the cast of the Avengers and things like that. But it's one of those, you know, you go to get an autograph and it's like, you know, it's soup Nazi. It's like, you know, get your signature, move on. And, you know,
right. I mean, at the con I went to, I did wait in line for almost 2 hours to get Ming-Na Wen's autograph. And I was, you know, rushed through in probably less than 30 seconds.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't think we've waited in line for anything except the elevator here.
Yeah, that's basically
it. Your Comic-Cons and Austin Comic-Con, I know, and a couple months ago I was here for Walker Stalker Con because I'm a big Walking Dead fan. And I walked in there alone, so commercial. It was like a trade show as opposed to a con. They did have interviews with the guests, but they were sort of penned off in a side of the exhibition hall. So, you know, everybody could see them, everybody could hear them, you'd have an audience. Here, they have, you know, the interviews off in a side room or in a ballroom. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ditto what y'all said. I'm sorry.
I mean, like we've said, you know, there's been times where, you know, you run into the stars in the elevator, or I've literally bumped into Terry Malloy 2 times coming into or going out of the bathroom. So it's, you know, it's one of those things, and you can approach them, you can talk to them. I mean, I sat and had a conversation with Nick Briggs while I was waiting for something to happen for a couple minutes, and talked about, you know, how he wore, you know, wet swim trunks to his thing at Gallifrey. There's a lot to be said about these small cons. No, you're not going to get the big names like Hugh Jackman, but you do get to interact with the talent much more.
Mm-hmm. And even the parts of the con that are just, you know, fan discussion panels, those are really interesting. The panel that we're going to play next week is one of those fan discussion panels.
Oh, yeah, that was absolutely a blast. Yeah. It was so fun.
And you actually get to participate in them because you're in a room with, you know, 20, 30 people.
Yeah, it's not sitting there listening to Eve Miles talk about where John Barrowman put his penis again.
I said this earlier today. It's a good thing John Barrowman is John Barrowman. Otherwise, he'd be in prison.
Very much so, yes.
The thing about the fan panels is that what it basically boils down to is you have a topic. Okay, we're going to talk about X. We're all going to get in a room. There's people sitting up ahead, and they'll kind of lead the conversation. And what it amounts to is just a bunch of people talking. And you may veer off of topic X, and it's okay.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to mind, except for maybe a stuck-up person that may be on the panel as a moderator. I was like, okay, let's get back on topic. But I haven't had that.
But if you've got a good moderator, then they understand the room, and that's not the case.
Yeah.
But Yeah, I mean, it basically what that boils down to is it's almost like an in-person forum discussion. If you've ever had a discussion on a forum of any sort, that's basically what it boils down to, is like everybody in a room and having the discussion.
But without the haters, because on a discussion room, you can say whatever you want without being identified personally.
Yeah,
and they're not going to do that kind of stuff.
Now you've got 30 to 50 people staring at you while you say it. So slightly different.
It's like, yeah, you can say whatever you want, but you might have to deal with the consequences of that.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, this has been an absolute blast trying to do this convention, and we still have a whole day to go, and I'm excited to just hang out tomorrow. I don't think there's anything that I have on my schedule that I'm like, this is a must-see, I have to do this. So I'm looking forward to just hanging out and enjoying the company here, because...
The game room again?
Yeah, it's the game room. Because, I mean, let's face it, you walk into any room in this hotel, basically, and make some obscure Fourth Doctor reference or, Second Doctor reference, and someone in that room is guaranteed to be like, I got that one, I know it.
What a wonderful butler, he's so violent.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> And people are going to laugh at it. I mean, this is, you walk into to any room, and you've got friends instantly as soon as you get in there. It's fantastic. So I can't wait for tomorrow. I am going to be back next year. This has been a huge blast.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you guys buy anything in the dealer's room?
Well, Jay and I won the pub trivia. So we got We got $5 coupons.
Coupons.
For the Hoop Fest.
Is that how you say it in Kansas? Coupons.
Coupons.
I mean, you can see I've got my water bottle in my... Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got last year's Hoop Fest t-shirt. And then, Jay and I have been hitting up the game room anytime we had a little bit of time between panels. And our last trip in there, we played Chupacabra Dice. So then I was like, well, I need this now.
This is it. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, live. Chupacabra Dice.
Live on the podcast, Chupacabra Dice.
It's Texas, so you have to get Chupacabra Dice.
Well, I ran and got some Chupacabra Dice.
So yeah, I've managed to make it through the dealer room mostly unscathed. But.
Yeah, we made it Friday. We took 2 laps through there and left with all our money.
Yeah, that's
that didn't happen today.
Achievement unlocked.
I told myself, well, I'm going to buy some magnets. I need to buy a t-shirt for the other half.
I got a flask, too.
Oh, you get a flask?
Yep, I got a flash flask, which goes great with my other podcast, Crimson Comet.
Oh, nice plug. Nice plug. No, he's the guest. He gets to plug. You do not. But yeah, so definitely go check out the website. It's at whofestdfw.com. I believe it's .com. I'll fix that later in post if I don't know. But all right, I was wrong. It's whofestdfw.org. The link in the show notes is still accurate, though. But it will be in the show notes. Go to gallifreypublicradio.com/134, and we'll put the link in there so that you guys can go directly to it. Obviously, they don't have any guests announced or anything, but even last year, they didn't even have any guests. It was just...
No.
It was a bunch of people here for the 50th.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to prolong your podcast, but last year, we had mixed feelings going in. We were like, okay, is this going to be good? I don't know. It was fine. It was excellent. This was better, but it was smaller. We still had the same fan interaction. Everything was great. It was no problem whatsoever. It doesn't have to be a Gallifrey.
Yeah.
It's so weird when I go to this, like, Gallifrey is now, like, down to, sneering at it as if it was like San Diego Comic-Con. Like, oh, too many people. Oh, but no, Gallifrey is fine too, for the most part. But yeah, great fun.
Yeah. I mean,
and I will go again next year.
Anytime you get, hundreds of Whovians in a room together, it's always going to be fun,
And, so. There's more of these fandom specific cons coming up in the summer and into the fall that we're going to talk about as they come along. I know there's one in Wichita, Kansas in October that I will at least be going to. I don't know if the guys will make it or not, but it's going to have a similar panel list as this week had. But I've had enough fun this time that I'll go again.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So yeah, if there's a local con that you can make it to, something along these lines or something, maybe even a little bit bigger, but anytime you can go to a con that's smaller in scale, it doesn't have to be Comic-Con, it doesn't have to be Dragon Con. The smaller ones can be so enjoyable, and there are communities that form around it. I mean, people that they come here that you can tell that these are their friends. They look forward to this, the once a year interaction with these people that they have formed a relationship with. So it's a lot of fun. Do you guys have anything else to say closing up? Or?
I guess. Listen to the TARDIS Tavern. I also do, I do a bunch of podcasts, but I also co-host the Doctor Who Book Club once a month. Eric and I talk about books from the Missing Adventures and the New Adventures and all that. Awesome. So that takes up more of my time than the TARDIS tech part.
And again, you can just go to GallifreyPublicRadio.com/134 and we'll have all the links in the show notes so that you can find them very easily. So, all right. Well, Sean, thank you very much for joining us. This has been
an absolute
blast. Oh, thank
you. Oh, this is fine. And I know I'm not allowed to swear on this, so I'm just going to go to the extent and say poop dick.
All right. Well, this has been episode 134 of Gallifrey Public Radio. Until next week, this is Jay saying, I was literally 20 feet from Nicola Bryant. Yay!
And this is Haley saying, if you do go to a con, definitely check out the room parties.
Cheers.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com, tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio, or on Facebook at facebook.com/GallifreyPublicRadio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2015.
Now, how loosey-goosey are you with your podcast? I mean, I'm not saying I'm going to say or anything.
But I don't say
yeah.
Don't stroke this windscreen.
But it's so soft. When I was
I'm already worked up. Don't start.
It's not called a windscreen. It's called a muff. That's what I would call it anyway. Sorry.
Haley, stop putting the muff in your mouth.
Oh, none of this is going to go on the podcast.
What are you talking about? You don't edit this one.